This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Our guests would be so happy to see you dancing the way you are. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio.
What? A little cameo, man. A little cameo. These are home folks.
I'm saying they would be happy to know you dancing the way you are. Greg, on this Sunday morning.
I had a chance to go to rehearsal with them, and I passed on it.
23rd day of March. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to everybody in Doraville. Those of you helping folks.
At Assembly.
Doing the right, at Assembly, too.
Right there at the end of the martyr train.
I got a reach out from somebody who used to work here. But I've been daring to lead this whole show.
Uh-oh.
Bring our guests on. I was prayed for.
Okay.
Out in public.
In public.
This week.
Okay.
I will tell you about that after we speak with our guests who I've been waiting to speak with for a week.
Yeah. And we got him. We got him this morning. We do, you know.
Yeah, man.
He just is hard to catch up when he's on the field.
Really?
He's
really?
Still hard to bring down.
Sparks coming off them heels and everything.
But we got him this morning for us. I mean, we're so happy to be joined by Jamal Lewis, who joins us. And, my goodness,
you come
with a number of different things we talk with you about. But you're very passionate about the game of football. Obviously, we know what the impact it made on your life. But now, as a coach and as a dad with Chamblee High School, it gives you a chance to be plugged in again, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. My son now, he's playing. He's in ninth grade at Chamblee High School, and it's been a long gap in my football career. And he's brought me back around to it. Now I'm back in it. And it's changed a whole lot. And, now we're at Chamblee, and it's about trying to just get them the best experience, trying to get them the best experience, give them everything they need in order to be successful, and put the best product on the field, So that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're having this event on March 28th at Topgolf in Alpharetta, just a fundraiser. That's just one step in the process in order to try to build a good program in a public school setting. Where you don't have much money, you don't have many funds in order to do a lot of things. So these are things that we have to do in order to make that happen. So we appreciate you giving us the platform to kind of present that and spread that, and so we can get people out to have a good time this Friday coming up.
Jamal Lewis joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. I would love to have been a fly on the wall to hear that first conversation you had with Ed Reed to bring him under, your umbrella and be a part and join you there at Chamblee.
Man, you know what? It was you know, his son was there. You know, his son's been there at Chamblee. Our sons kind of crossed paths. His son's a little older than mine, about 2 years. And he'll be a senior next year. And it just so happened, you know, we ended up at Chamblee High School. He was there. And we're both on the football field. And we're like, you know, you're these dads that sit back and you wait and you watch and see what's going on or whatever. And you just kind of deal with what's going on. And then you just go, look, we gotta do something. You know, we gotta help. We gotta bring something to the table here to kind of make this, you know, change or make this better or give our kids a better experience. And honestly, his son is gonna be a senior next year, so you know, I think Ed really wants to coach, and he wants to be in the coaching, you know, sector from some standpoint, whether it's high school, college, pros, or whatever. And I think this just gave a good opportunity. So it wasn't too hard to twist his arm to come in and coach his son for his senior year. And, you know, he wants to get into it anyway. So I think this would be a good breakthrough for him. We have a good team coming in, a bunch of young guys that played last year, that's experienced, you know, he's the offense coordinator. So, you know, bringing his expertise from the defensive side of the field to the offense, you know, and helping our young quarterback, Braden Doss, you know, kind of decipher, you know, where the ball is going, and give him a lot of knowledge from the defensive side of the ball so he can be better. So it wasn't hard, like I said, to kind of twist his arm, but he's ready. He's dialed in, and I can't wait to get going.
Jamal, I really want to ask you about something we've been talking about for a few years around here, and just your experiences dealing with young players coming up. Because we always talk about they don't at least show that they care as much about history as their previous generation. So my question to you is, when you and Ed Reed sit and stand in front of these guys and start talking football, do you feel like they have an appropriate appreciation for who you two are and what you've done?
You'll be surprised, you know, with social media and YouTube and you know, their parents, you know, saying, do you know who that is? You know, you know, go back and watch and this, that, and the other. And, you know, some of us, you know, we are kind of extinct to these kids. But the real football players, the ones that we're looking for, the football players, they know. You know, they know, and they listen, and they want to know more and get that knowledge. And I haven't ran into, you know, any situations where kids wouldn't listen because, you know, when you're talking about the game and talking about the position and talking about these things that you've been through, because we've been battle-tested, we won championships, mm-hmm. and we've done some things, and they know that. And I think that having those accolades really help. It helped, you know, run their antennas up and get their attention or whatever. So it really helps, you know, being that, you know, having the accolades you have and you bring to the table, it really helps. And then having a Hall of Famer, you know, at the table, you know, that even makes it even better. So so haven't really had that issue. The biggest thing is just the work ethic of what it takes to be a top athlete in the high school level or any level. Sometimes I think that what kids don't get and parents don't get is the work ethic in building a athlete to put the best product on the field. I think that's what's really missed, because you have a lot of 7-on-7 out here. You have camps and all this other stuff that has been put in place to kind of distract these kids more into the money pits and the money grabs of companies that are trying to just make money and bring these kids onto their playing fields to kind of drive traffic to them, versus these kids, you know, hey, going out, putting in the work, get with your trainers, get with your specialty trainers, get in the weight room, you know, and get to building that base to put a better product out there on the field, versus going to go play in a 7-on-7 game that you're not going to get anything out of.
Yeah, folks, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline. Always great to catch up with this man, Jamal Lewis. He is social. You can follow him at Jamal31Lewis. Jamal, the number 3-1 Lewis. They're talking about having a great time next Friday out at Topgolf in Alpharetta for Shamley Football. It is a fundraiser. You're going to go out there, and Jamal Lewis and Ed Reed will be there. You're going to get a chance to meet them and play golf. I don't know how much golf you get to play.
Yeah, what's your handicap, man?
Or do you play Topgolf? Are you limited to Topgolf?
What's your handicap?
Hey, listen, that's why I'm at Topgolf. My handicap, I don't have a handicap.
Oh, okay.
That's why we're at Topgolf. It's like, get me two swings and then grab me a beer. But at the same time, you know, I think that's why we kind of did it, you know, at Topgolf, because, you know, it's kind of more of a different atmosphere than being at the golf course, you know. So it's more family. You know, you bring your family. You know, we're going to have a good time. Some pro athletes and some guys, you know, some of our teammates and colleagues, you know, be there. The NFL chapter, they kind of jumped on board. So it'll be some of those guys out there, whatever. I'm also giving away, you know, I guess in our silent auction, we're also doing I'm also bringing four guests to the Tennessee-Georgia game at the Big House in Tennessee.
Whoa.
So that's going to be a big offering right there. That's going to be a big ticket, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for Georgia fans, you know, they want to come down and see the Bulldogs get beat up by Tennessee.
Ouch.
You can pay for that. You can pay for that. You know, whatever. And I'll enjoy, you know, I enjoy hosting you. But that's going to be one of the tickets on our silent auction, yeah, along with some helmets and things like that that we got signed by some of our colleagues and pro guys. So it'll be a good time. You know, just look at it. You know, hey, Delta is a sponsor. Scofflaw Brewery is a sponsor as well. So we have had some guys that stepped up and supported this cause and to help, you know, our guys and help them have a better experience coming into this 2025 season.
Yeah, the spring ball will get started here in the month of May, and that's always an important time. Before we let you go here, we go ahead and let you go in a little bit. You know, Greg and I often talk about the return of the running back position. And, you know, that's your position you played. And it seems like with this year with Saquon Barkley and even with what we see here, you know, in with our team here with Atlanta, it seems like the running back position has been a priority once again. How does it make you feel to see that?
You know what? It made me feel real good this season to see Saquon, Derrick Henry, Jahmyr Gibbs, these guys just go out there and really just take control. And that's one of the things that the running back position, that's what we've done. We don't need to be the show, you know. We don't need to be the show. We don't need to be the hero or anything like that. What we're there to do is move the chains and support the team and keep defenses honest. And I think that what these guys did this year was really they took control of the ground game. You know, when the passing game wasn't there, basically complementing the passing game as well, they did what they had to do. And they had the coaches that had the open mind to say, you know what, we don't have to go out here and sling the ball all over the place and still win by three. You know, we can go out here and we can go run the ball, we can dominate and dominate defenses, use our offensive line to lean on these guys versus stepping back and catching people and letting these people deal with it. And I think that it was very impressive. A lot of people wanted to tune in to see those guys run the ball and try to go for 2,000. And one did go over this year. Saquon, welcome to the 2,000 club. But at the same time, you know, it was great to see that. It was great to see Saquon go and get some more money and, you know, raise the stakes, you know, at that position. But I think a lot of offensive coordinators and a lot of teams are seeing, you know, that, hey, you do need to run a game. You do need a featured back that can go out and go get it and not use this position as, hey, we can just throw somebody in there and we can put two people in there to make one, or we can put three in there to make one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, you know, that's based on these offensive coordinators that they know that they can't go get a job running the ball. They can't go get a job having a 2,000-yard rusher. They can go get a job having a 5,000-yard passer.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not even a great record you know, not even a great record, but if they throw 5,000 yards, guess what? They might get a head coaching job next year somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that this year, I think what the running backs did was phenomenal, and I think it's going to do something great for years to come, coming through the draft and everything else with the running backs building up that position again.
We've been saying it around here, and they put some lazy coaches out of work.
Yeah,
because that's all they had to do.
Yeah.
Put some,
yeah.
I'll say it, Jamal. They put some lazy coaches out of work. All right.
You're right. You said it. That's what.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's all it was. All right.
Well, it's coming up next Friday. This coming Friday, March 28th. It's going to be Shamley Football Bash, going to be taking place at Top Golf Alpharetta. Jamal Lewis, Ed Reed. It's a fundraiser. Go out and have some fun. Jamal, thanks so much for the time
this morning. Appreciate it, Jamal.
Absolutely. Thank you guys. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, man.
All right,
I wish I had more time with him because I want to could do a little morph into the film industry with his son, because who I've worked with, he was doing some acting before that, but more importantly, Jamal could start feeding those future football players for what did I just finish?
Yep,
you casting call. They're looking for football
looking for
players.
A team, right?
Jamal, if you're still listening, check out casting call. They need some football players. So again, yeah, that's ever present. So Game Changing Films is always looking for those football players, and again, everything from Pee Wee up to pro ranks. You know, they need the other team to play the pros, or the stars, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of stars, Tim Scarborough, he's joining us next. Getting back into the tournament time. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 again.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I tell you I had a pair of underwear with that phrase
no.
on it. Yeah,
no.
And that dude taking a big step out front, the keep on trucking symbol. Yeah. My mother bought a pack. She went to some store that bought a pack, and they had like all the phrases from that, have a nice day, have the keep on
underwear.
Trucking. Yeah, man.
You sure the listeners need to know that?
Well, I just was making a quick little statement. I did mention that before. Parents are buying it for their kids. I ain't saying nothing nasty.
You should the audience need.
I don't. That's
to
on me. That for being. I know y'all ain't saying nothing about my mama. She's trying to be fresh back in the day and bought some underwear for her baby and had all these different phrases on it. She thought that was interesting.
You come over here this morning and tell people you had some.
You had some draws
with keep on trucking.
Yeah, I did. I just put that out there. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game, game.com. And I didn't tell you what side did. I didn't tell you what side of the draws that the emblem was on,
yeah,
did I?
Hey, you know, it don't matter, man.
Be honest with you. Now,
north, south, east,
I didn't
west,
buy them. I wore them, though.
It's, whoa.
You never had stuff that your mother bought you that she was trying to be?
If I did, I ain't going and tell folks in public.
Okay, well, that's you. I air my own job. I sleep well at night.
There you
go. It's called therapeutic.
Go ahead.
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh, did I give the thing there?
92.9thegame.com.
It is Sam and Greg on this. You know what?
What's wrong?
We could have done this any other break, but this dude who's coming on right now just heard what we talked about. He's going to come at me.
Hey,
he's going to come at me right now.
You earned it.
I don't care. I'm just saying. You're making a bigger deal out of it than it is. Come on, Tim Scarborough. Come up in here. I'm ready for you.
Oh man, Greg, you called it, brother. I'm sitting here thinking, you sound like a brother that has once used the term jive turkey.
No, I never have, but my parents did. I never used that, but see, from that time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Everybody has those stories from a parent or a relative that bought you something that they thought was cool, and they go, "Here, baby, you wear this."
Yeah.
And you look at them funny.
Yeah. Tim, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
How your brackets doing?
Man, so your feelings are based off of your brackets, at least guys like me. So I'm not in a great mood this morning, right? Because my bracket looks like my science grade. It's got a lot of red right now.
But mine too. I tried to follow your lead with your folks, man, but they couldn't get past Oregon.
Man. So I never want to see an Oregon Duck for the rest of my life. You think about in football, the Fiesta Bowl, Liberty got their first New Year's Day bowl. We were very excited. That was a big deal. And Oregon just smacked the living daylights out of Liberty. And Friday was no different on the basketball hardwood. But Oregon's a really good team. Dana Altman, one of the better coaches in the country. And he certainly is prepared in those early rounds. And as a result, you know, Liberty just kind of – no one in this whole season had manhandled Liberty the way they got manhandled in, on the biggest stage. So it was disappointing. But, man, I tell you what, Oregon – is good. They're going to go far in this tournament, I think.
Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. I got Florida. Any reason why I should even consider changing that? And I realize it's a popular pick, but that's the one I picked a while ago, and so I'm staying with it. The rest of my bracket's all messed up. I, like you, I think you wanted to see how far St. John's could go.
Yep.
I thought Patino was the story of this tournament. That's now gone. And so, you know, I'm going to see what's going on with Florida. But having said that, do you think I should consider changing?
No. I mean, Florida has, I mean, Clayton Jr. is one of the better players in the entire nation, 17, 18 points a game. But it's not just him. It's the same with Duke with Cooper Flagg, man. Both those guys have supporting casts that allow you to think, wow, that there could be a collision course between Duke and Florida. I'm not wavering on that. You know, I felt like the SEC was a little top-heavy, although the bottom of that league benefited from the top. But really, the four teams, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Florida, carried that league, and they were four of the best teams in the country all season. Based off of yesterday, I mean, Auburn took a scare from Creighton, but, you know, both Auburn, Florida, Alabama too. I don't believe in Tennessee. I think Tennessee might actually lose to UCLA today. But Greg, I think you're good with Florida going to the Final Four and certainly possibly get to a championship game and possibly win it all based off of their talent. But again, all it takes is one egg to be laid and you're done. And St. John's didn't play their game yesterday. You know, Patino versus Calipari was a great and fun matchup to visit. You know, two of the remaining, you know, it's probably just four or five guys with that kind of pedigree remaining from that generation. And two of them got to play against each other. You know, and of course, Calipari also beat Bill Self, another person from that group that you can kind of say, all right, the legendary coaches that are still active. And, you know, so Calipari had a great weekend. He beat Bill Self, then he beat Rick Pitino.
Yeah, but that Kansas team don't count. That Kansas team don't count. They were playing with smoke and mirrors with that center they had, that dude who transferred from Michigan.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have come around to your life thinking about the big fella in Kansas. So, he played himself out of an NBA contract probably by staying in school.
Wow. You talk about that, folks. Mm-hmm. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Tim Scarborough. He is social. All you find him at TimScar20, at TimScar20 is where you can find him. No Cinderellas in this. Are we seeing two things, the combination of the cash, the bag, I don't call it NIL, the bag that has consumed players who would have been on a Florida Atlantic or San Diego State just a couple of years ago are now finding their way to the major brand, the big brand conference teams. And also the fact that maybe the tournament committee is tweaking things and letting few of those teams in to give more spots to the teams from the major conferences. I think that's the combination of what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think a couple of things are going on. The money has always been there. It was just under the table, if we're being honest. But now it's more overt. But it's not the money so much as the mobility ability. Now you can transfer within conferences. Now you can transfer and play right away. Now you can play at five different schools. Now you can get waivers and play for 7-8 years and be a 25-year-old still playing in the NCAA. That is the paradigm shift that has caused this imbalance to resurface. The money has always been there, as I said, it's just under the table. Now it's more overt. And it's probably more money floating around than it used to be as well. And more guys are starting to get that money. I think about FAU went to the Final Four a few years ago, and I saw three of their players this weekend playing for different teams. Vlad Golden, the big fella, went to Michigan with his coach. Understandable. But Johnny Davis for Arkansas, he was a big part of why Arkansas won. He was a big part of why FAU was good in the years that he was there. And Taj Boyd, another good player from that group, saw him playing for San Diego State. But there's so many guys from these mid-majors. And mention it, speaking of Jani Broome, he's probably the best player in the country, arguably certainly second best, played at Morehead State. So it's a lot of great players in the NCAA that were playing at mid-majors that are now playing at majors that are making those majors even better. And, yes, there's starting to become a stockpiling scenario where the majors are getting more of the better talent, and as a result, you're seeing more of them be successful. But the real problem with why you're seeing majors be so successful is they've left some great mid-major teams out of this tournament.
Yep.
And replaced them with middle-tier to even lower-tier conference teams. Think about the SEC, who got 14 teams. That's ridiculous on every level. You know, the only way I'd take 14 teams from a league is if all of them possibly, and I know it's mathematically impossible, had a 31 season because they're all playing each other. So that won't happen. But what happens is you take six SEC teams that literally had a losing record in the month of January and February, literally were 6-12 or 8-10 in their own conference. We need to have a standard that I don't care what conference you're in. You got to compete in your conference. You can't be mediocre all year and ride the coattails to the top half of your conference and then get into the NCAA tournament because these games are too important and the money is too big for these schools to be left out. And, you know, that's my soapbox for the morning. But having said that, once the games get started, all that animosity and that mid-major angst that I feel for the last 30 years, it goes away because these games are excellent. And this weekend has been no different.
Okay, we just sent you something. Can you talk to us and look at your phone at the same time? I know we know you can, but can you do it like right now?
Yeah, I got an iPhone, dude. I don't have a flip phone.
Can you see what you just received something?
No flip phone.
Yeah.
Can you see what you just received?
I can read emojis. I can do all that.
Can you see?
Yes, I see. Oh, picture of my guy. So am I looking for something specific in this picture?
No, you're looking for two people. You're looking at two people. We'd like to post that, and we're gonna send that out. But he should be looking at a picture of a couple dudes, and one of them really, really good looking in a Bucky shirt.
Sam looks great. You're right.
No, see that folks. It's Tim Scarborough is on loose. Look, well, what are your plans for this week? We got March Madness coming to town. We know that Michigan and Auburn are going to be here. What are the other two teams that are going to make it?
Well, you know, that Atlanta region, man, that's just going to be fun. I wish I had put in for a media pass, but as much as I'm around college basketball, I didn't even realize the tournament is coming to Atlanta. So I'll be watching that on TV. I won't be behind the velvet rope with you this week, Sam, down in Atlanta. But I'll say this, you know, you're right. Auburn made it, but, man, I had Auburn going out this weekend. I thought Creighton would get them, and they almost did. But almost isn't good enough. It's about surviving and advancing. And Michigan is one of my final four teams. I really think that Michigan-Auburn game next weekend is going to be a battle. And Michigan's got bigs, and that's why I think they can beat Auburn. Vlad Golden, the guy I mentioned, he's a 7-1 center with final four experience at FAU. You know, he and Jonai Broome, that is going to be a matchup. But who else is coming? You're asking me. I told you I got all red on my sheet. I don't know who else is coming. I'm hoping today is better than yesterday because I need a really good day just to get eight teams into the Sweet 16 based on my bracket. So
wow,
yes, it is busted.
We will be watching.
I took some chances. I took some big swings. You know, I had Tennessee going out early, and they may survive today. Versus UCLA, but they may not. I put Kentucky at Purdue. I had Gonzaga beating Houston. A close shave, but Houston survived. Houston
made it through, man. You know, but yep. I followed your lead on Drake. I had Drake making it to the first one. They didn't make it, so we got Tennessee Tech is moving on. I had St. John's making it all the way to the Final Four. So that's some adjustments with mine. But that, you know, the other two, other three teams in my Final Four still in there. Still got Auburn. Still got nice. Duke. Still got Houston. They're still in there swinging. So
that's good for you guys. Good for you two. Not me. I'm just got my one Florida. I'm hanging my hat on. That's it.
Well, man, ride those Gators. Ride those Gators. Right. They might get you there.
Tim, listen, as always, we appreciate the back and forth, having some fun with you. And listen, I can take it. You can come at me. You know, y'all want to talk about underwear, that's fine. I'm here for it, all right? It's all
let's
love
go,
on a Sunday morning.
Turkey.
Keep on trucking.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
gotta hurry up and get home and watch Barney Miller. All right, listen. You have yourself. Good rest of your day, man. We have got the tournament action for you here. But, Tim, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, fellas, have a good day.
And put them, post them pictures out there that we just sent you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you covered. I'm doing it right now.
Send those out there. And by the way, speaking of the tournament, we have got everything for you right here. If you can't get in front of a TV, the pregame show starts at 11. Coverage, second round starts at noon all the way to about 5:30 or so. And you're asking yourself, well, they're going to be all over college. What about the Hawks? They're taking on the 76ers. We got that for you. Right after that coverage at 5:30, the pregame for Hawks Philadelphia starts. Tip at 6 o'clock. And by the way, that second round will continue into the evening after 5:30 down on WAOK. So, again, we have got you covered. It is Sam and Greg. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 23rd day of March. I just put that picture of us up on Get Cast with Greg. I don't know if you threw it up on yours.
All right. Let's see.
Noel's going to put it up there, too. There's a couple pictures of us just being silly. And more importantly, I did this because you made the effort to get me this.
Yeah, I'll make
jersey,
sure you got it.
Man. I'm tickled about it. So I wanted to let everybody know, you know, how much I enjoy it. You became color coordinated, put the under utilities underneath.
I know,
all
man.
That
you're
stuff,
all lined
man.
Up like you're ready to go out.
I'm ready to go play some innings.
Ready to go out and play, man. Like you're ready to go out and play.
I got my prednisone, so I won't be all messed up with the pollen.
As
so
we get ready for the season to begin.
Yes.
Baseball season is upon us. The season is here, and, you know, they're going to put the teams have made it to the starting gate. Let's hope the Braves don't have any more injuries here the next couple of days, and
jeez,
we get everybody in the starting gate, and we get off to a fast start, and let's see where we're headed.
You would okay. A couple things that I hadn't mentioned during the show. First of all, I got to do happy birthdays to since our last show, Jesse.
Ah,
Jesse had a birthday.
Whoa!
Monday was Jesse's birthday, St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And so she turned 8.
Wow.
She's lived a life.
Yeah. Now
this dog has got it soft. And then when the celebration ended on Thursday, I think was when I sent you that other picture.
Woo.
Jesse left an emoji inside the closet.
Yeah.
She didn't leave a present. You normally say, well, you know, you're trying to be nice about it. You say, oh, the dog left a present. No. This was crazy. I got up in, you know, early in the morning, get ready to go, get shower, and I go into the closet to get my stuff, and there is literally what looked like right out of Central Casting, an emoji on the floor in the closet.
Whoa.
From Jesse.
Whoa. With love.
Yeah, well, she was rapidly moved out of her sleeping spot
with love,
and
it was lovingly placed.
We had another session, so that was one of the things I wanted. So happy birthday to her. Let me ask you this,
yeah, man,
because we have not talked that much about this. I want to say this out loud, and I want to get your thoughts on this. You're going into the next, let's say, college football season, and you're going up against a team that you find out has a coaching staff with, among others, Warren Sapp, Marshall Faulk, Jason Phillips, Kevin Mathis. Oh, and by the way, they just added Byron Leftwich.
Okay.
To Deion's staff of Colorado.
They dressing out?
I get what you're saying. No, they're not playing.
Okay.
But it's the knowledge.
Well, obviously the knowledge.
And it's the connection with these younger players, which is what I believe.
Well, you hope the younger players appreciate it, just like you talked with Jamal Lewis about.
I know.
You hope that young people get that. Jeff Saturday was coaching out at Hebron Christian, and I always ask him, hey, man, because Jeff Saturday is going into the Hall of Fame one day. I mean, he's snapping the ball to Peyton Manning all these years. I said, well, how'd the guys – I'm just coach. I said, they don't know what you did. I said, sometimes they know I played with Peyton Manning. They'll say they were on YouTube and they saw something that Peyton did. And it was no big deal. Maybe it's a position that he played. But just the idea, these kids kind of don't know.
You're absolutely right. And in most cases, I agree with you. If I did not know that Deion had had conversations with his kids, his sons, their friends, while he's been there to talk to them about the coaches that he's bringing in. Y'all know who Marshall Faulk is. Y'all know who this player is. And he got some guys that were also hungry. That's what he said about Warren Sapp. Now, Warren Sapp, you can say what you will about him. Yeah. But he said the reason he brought him on, he knew that if he was given a purpose, that all that football knowledge would come out. Warren would be rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And that person who we all have a perception about, is he's gone. That dude is behind him. So if he can tap into that with some of these former players, especially guys that are hungry and have that want to.
Oh, yeah.
Warren Sapp wanted to be given a chance. He wanted to be given a purpose. And now we're going to find out. The dude didn't do what he did all those years not knowing the sport of football. Oh, that's
true.
All I'm saying.
Very true. Very true. So. Very true.
Absolutely. Anyway, I just found that. I looked at this list and I went, oh, and I'm leaving out some names. But I'm just saying, I saw that and I went, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So he's been talking to some folks.
That's it. NASCAR is rolling down in Miami today at Homestead. They're back on the East Coast. We hope to get Adam Alexander back with us next week. Why? Because yesterday, CW did a remote of a broadcast. They were not actually there. They were in the studio in Charlotte.
So much
and
like
call the race.
Pandemic time.
Yeah. NASCAR, we ever heard of NASCAR doing that without the commentators actually being at the track. So it's something new that they tried yesterday, and I'm curious to get his reaction to it. We'll see if we can get him with us next week. Alex Bowman is on the pole for today's race with Josh Berry outside of row one, Noah Gregson, Chase Briscoe, and William Byron, your top five qualifiers for today's race. Like I said, they're back on the East Coast. I'm going down. I'm going down, down, down the list. Chase Elliott qualified 18th for today's race. And so we see how they do that at Homestead.
I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I don't even know that I'm not making fun of what happened to me, but I had a first this past week.
First.
So I'm leaving the station. I was mm-hmm. up here at the station. Saw Rick Caffey.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, hadn't literally one-on-one been with Rick in a while. You and I haven't talked about where we were this week either. So
right.
Let me do this story here, and then I want you to mention where we were this past week. So I came up here, did what I had to do, and I'm leaving, and I'm pulling out of Colony Square, and I came around, you know where we walk out?
Mm-hmm.
I had my car up here by the eye clinic,
yeah.
And then so I drove around the Colony Square condos and went back, you know, that way. And as I was coming up, there were four young people. And they looked like they were looking for something. And that happens to us all the time. People
right.
are, where's the food court? Where's the theater at? And so they stopped me and asked me a question. And I answered the question. And three of them turned like they're getting ready to walk away. And one woman looks at me and she says, thank you for helping me. She says, can I ask you a question? And when she said, can I ask you a question, the other three stopped and turned around. And they collectively – one other person said with this woman, can we pray for you? Now, I'm in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. I got out of my car to answer. I mean, I rolled my window down
mm-hmm.
to answer a question for them. But I'm in the lane
yeah.
that leads you onto 15th Street. So I'm not on 15th Street yet. And so they asked, can I pray for you? Can we pray for you? I was like, sure. And she says, you know, which, you know, I said, yeah, you can pray for Greg. And I mean, they collectively, like, came up like a barbershop quartet.
Okay.
Came up to my car.
Okay.
Stood around me. I got out of the car. I figured that was the thing to do. I'd never been prayed for before, but I figure I can't do it while I'm sitting in a seat. I literally did. I felt like if somebody's going to pray for me, I can't sit here.
Yeah.
So I opened my door, and I stood outside my car, and they stood around me, and they started praying for
yeah.
me out loud, and there were cars trying to pull in
yeah.
the Colony Square condos here.
Whoa.
And they were there for a good... It had to be 45 seconds. It seemed longer.
Right.
But it, you know, and then I said,
yeah.
you know, thank you very much.
Obviously.
And I was like, that was a first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they went up into where I was sending them to go, you know, to the food court. And then there was a guy waiting to come in who was doing some kind of utility service. And he pulls in and I'm getting into my car and he goes, hey, did they just pray for you? And I went, well, as a matter of fact, yeah. And he goes, I thought I was going to interrupt him. That is so great, man. We need more of that. And he did. He went into this whole thing about this is the problem with America. People need to pray for folks more and more,
yeah.
so on and so forth. But it was a really interesting sort of thing. Not just them asking to do it, which was one thing, then
mm-hmm.
them doing it, and then the reaction of the people who watched them do it to me
yeah.
as they were coming in. And there was another person who drove in and they gave me a nod.
Right.
Like they saw what was going on.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I wanted to share that with you. Have you ever had that happen?
Unexpected thing.
Yeah.
An individual, but not a group like that.
Four of them.
Four young people.
So I felt I've been.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I've thought about that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day since that's happened, and I've made it my point to, you know, try and earn that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you're paying attention, absolutely, you got to try to, you know, acknowledge that and earn it a little bit. I don't know how you do that, but just be decent, man. I'm just, like I said, I've always said I'm just a big dude trying to get into heaven. That's me. That's me and you.
That's it.
And
that's
Noel.
It. Absolutely.
Not a big dude, but
absolutely.
I heard from our producer that much today,
she's really busy,
and we tried to leave her alone.
Doing her thing, and she ain't been saying.
If you get a second, you just come on here and say, good morning, like, and just start talking, because we miss you.
We didn't even get that today.
No.
Our day is not going to be here. Here come.
Morning.
All right, now, there we go.
Yeah, I've been in the trenches this morning.
I know it. We appreciate you, though. We appreciate you doing everything over that way. How are your brackets?
Oh, they busted. It's
so I guess the question for you is, instead of that, how's your sports week been? Because we haven't talked to you all week. I got to tell you, I can't even see her now.
But it's been a pretty fun week, actually. I very much enjoyed the Hawks ruining the NBA's schedule makers plan by beating the Warriors in national television. Steph Curry, you're not. I don't care.
They wouldn't have cared
if we lost.
Right.
What else did I enjoy? Getting a goal. That was cool. We haven't won a game in a while, but
picked up a point.
Well, exactly. We're picking up points. We're
1 point better.
We're drawing. We're not necessarily losing. So there's that. Greg keeps making me upset with Grant Hill.
Come on now.
I got a whole Noel's world about that. Why? Because it's interesting. And not to dwell too much time on this, because we're wrapping up.
Go ahead.
Up
that's all right.
Here,
that's okay. Go ahead.
I was watching, I don't know if they call themselves Secret Base now, The Score or whatever, but they do these sports beef episodes on YouTube, and I just watched the one between Candace Parker and Gino.
Okay.
With her not being put on the, I think it was the 2016 Olympic team.
Okay.
Due to, you know, Gino coaching the team. And,
oh, okay,
you know,
I get what you're saying. So the athlete gets a vent back at the coach?
Right. And like that beef situation, I understand, you know, Pat Summon and Gino and all that beef, and Candace was the best player there, Tennessee at the time, and it kind of all culminates and kind of spills over into, you know, player coach beef. Okay, sure. But if the guy you play for is not beating the table to get you on the Team USA that you've been wanting to be on since you was a teenager, I mean, who is supposed to go out there and beat the table for you? Who is supposed to cap for you if it's not Grant Hill? Are you already a Duke player, Grant? And you got some points marrying Tamia. You got some more points buying into the Hawks, but now I'm mad again.
Oh.
Halliburton? Yeah. Halliburton.
Yeah.
Didn't see the court. Mm. Yeah, Greg done made me upset with Grant Hill again. Okay. So we'll probably talk more about that next week.
But can't you compartmentalize what I'm talking about as far as what happened way
before? No, because I just told you he was a Duke player, so now I ain't like that either. No.
Wow.
No.
That's, yikes.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my.
I mean, actually, I can kind of feel what she's saying. I'd be that way about some Packers fans and people, you know. But, well, anyway, it's kind of
like how, I'm sure it is, and I will watch it eventually, but it's kind of how, you know, Isaiah Thomas felt about Chuck Daly in that situation.
Yeah. Now, that's a whole different episode.
Because who's supposed to beat the table if not Chuck Daly?
But here's the thing. Pulling some strings back there.
It would never have worked because.
I mean, no, I hear you. Him and Jordan, I understand all of that.
And it wasn't just Jordan who didn't want him on the team.
I know, yeah, but I'm saying from Isaiah's perspective, you know, bump all that, I don't care about that. Chuck Daly was my coach. We won championships, and we were supposed to get a gold medal together, and we didn't. And I'm putting all of that on you because that's what makes me feel better at the end of the day. And I'm with Isaiah.
Well, he should have decided to be the leader of the bad boys. You can't have it both ways.
You know,
you want to be that team that interrupted the dance party between the Lakers and the Celtics and the Bulls? Fine. That's what upset a whole lot of Pistons fans, that he decided to try to weasel his way in. And remember when Last Dance came out, he was actually like, he was trying to like smooth things over with Jordan. And that just upset Bad Boys fans even more. Mm-hmm. That showed what a phony he was. See, because he's been a phony from day one, ever since before he even went to Indiana, when he was still in Chicago. Don't get me started. We talk this next week, too.
See, now I got Greg mad.
And then we know what happened with him with the Knicks.
I done transferred my energy to Greg.
Yes,
look
you
at
have.
That, y'all.
Yes, you have.
Amazing how that happens.
Anyway. We missed her all day today. This
I know it. I know it. You know it. But you finished strong.
Happy. Y'all say a little. We've been saying some prayers for folks today, you know, for George Foreman and some others. But today would have been, and we lost him in 2003, Maynard Jackson.
Okay.
Would have been Maynard's birthday today,
mm-hmm.
along with the guy who ran the first sub 4 minute mile. You know who that is? Roger Bannister.
Bannister. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Rick Ocasek, the luckiest man on the planet when he was alive. He's gone since 19, but the guy who was the lead singer of the Cars. The man who helped Charles Barkley with his career. Moses Malone would have been his birthday today.
Okay.
An actual friend of mine and a guy who actually got a chip here in the city of Atlanta as an athlete. Back in the day, Chris LaPuma. Those Atlanta Knights hockey fans will know who I'm talking about. He was the enforcer on that team. Talk about a Southsider from Chicago. But Chris LaPuma, dude, actually helped me move once.
Really?
That's a friend. When they help you move, you know, they're friends. Kyrie Irving's birthday today, and Jason Kidd. Happy birthday to them. Mr. Fricky is up next. Mr. Crenshaw, yep. Enjoy your day. I hope your brackets stay.
We're hoping. All right.
And Noel, thank you for everything for the rest of you. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. As I said, John Fricky's up next. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.